Welcome back to Locker Room Dads, hosted by myself, Pat O'Donnell, punter for the Green Bay Packers, sitting beside my guy, Josh Brinzo, co-host of the show and brewery owner down here in South Florida. Today's guest on the show is Randall Cobb. Listen, I can list all this guy's accolades, but I want to talk about his character. It speaks louder than words. I wish everybody had a Randall Cobb in their locker room, but now they will have a chance listening to Locker Room Dads, what he's all about. Randall, welcome to the show, man.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. I need to take you with me everywhere to introduce.
Oh, man, I'll intro you man. All day. Well, I appreciate you jumping on the show, man. This has been fun. This has been something I wanted to do for a long time. Yeah. I know we talked a little bit about in season, but yeah. What's going on, man? How's Nashville? How are the kids?
Man, everyone's good. We, after the season, we got back here to Nashville and got settled in. We took a little trip to Mexico and then came back, and the kids actually started school. So they're in school right now. Cade, my youngest, he's three. He's going half a day. And Cass, my oldest, he's going 5 days a week. So I miss him, man. It's, you know, you get to have them running around the house all the time. And now they're going to school and in school for so much time. You know, it's a change up, but it's been fun.
That's good. Yeah. I know that the time slot that he gave me that he was able to work this in, I'm like, they're definitely in school. Yes. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Makes it easy. So I drop them off. Just about every morning and pick them up. I've kind of become a stay-at-home dad, so my wife's working most of the time and I'm handling the kids.
Okay.
I feel like that's the switch, though. When you go from season to off-season real quick, it's like you can't really get away. And it's like, oh, I'm a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
Oh. So I
found myself folding fitted sheets the other day and I was like, this is not the world I started.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's fun.
So Ida's working right now. I was going to get into it, but I wanted to touch on her. She's a badass lawyer, everybody.
Yeah. She's a patent attorney, and she's been working from home since we had our first 4 years ago. And, you know, she probably works about 25 to 30 hours a week.
Good for her. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's nice. I mean, she works so hard to get to this position, obviously, going through undergrad and then going to law school, and she worked for 5 years in DC before, and her firm has just been awesome with allowing her to work from home and allow her to have something for herself. You know, I think a lot of women in the NFL, the NFL wives, they have a hard time with being labeled as their significant other's wife rather than having a name for themselves. Yeah. So I think Ida working is a huge part of her being able to continue to have something for herself.
No, that's great.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah, we get that a lot. Like a lot of guys on the show, they don't feel bad in a sense of like having their spouse attached or associated with, oh, this is Randall Cobb's wife. You know, blah, 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 blah. But that's so cool that she's able to do that. And now that you guys have help, you have kids in school, I'm sure she feels like she can, you know, do that versus taking away from them. Because the first couple of years of life is so hard.
It is.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Now they're at the age transition, you know, that they can actually go to school and you don't feel bad and guilty. Other than you dropping them off, you're like,
Mom guilt is the real thing, too. I mean, like when she was working before and, you know, the kids are out playing, like she wants to be out there. She wants to be involved. So I know she had a lot of mom guilt early on, but it kind of helps out there in school. She knows she has a window that she can work.
For sure.
That's good. That's always good to have. You know, time where you can figure it out like that and being able to have the flexibility. My wife and I are both self-employed, so we've balanced having the kids at school or who's got the baby at certain times. And if you can find that balance, it's really helpful to really figure things out.
For sure.
So at what point did you guys know that you wanted to have kids? Was it like right away with Ida? Were you like, we're having kids? Or were you like, we'll see how it goes?
Yeah, I mean, we both knew that we always wanted a family. When we got married, our plan was actually to wait like 2 or 3 years. You know, we both love to travel. And, you know, we wanted to travel the world, you know, in the off season, like she could work a little bit remotely. So being able to travel, and we wanted to go backpacking through Europe and go to Asia, and we had all these grand plans. And then, you know, 8 months after the wedding, she was pregnant with our first. And then, so she, and then our Caspian was 8 months old when she got pregnant with Cade. So, you know, they're 17 months apart. And, you know, so, but it was actually, it actually worked out perfectly because obviously COVID happened. No one, we didn't have the opportunity to travel like we would have wanted to anyways during that time. So it actually was a blessing in disguise.
Are you guys going to plan on doing what you did, you didn't do before having kids? Or are you going to?
Yeah, that'll probably be like on the back end, right? Like, you know, I'm 32 right now. You know, I'll be 50 whenever the kids are going off to school. So we'll probably start that on the back end of our life.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I love that. So you guys wanted to have kids. You started off strong 8 months into marriage. Was Ida, I mean, I assume she was on board, but was, how was that transition for her working? And then did she take maternity leave like right away? Or was it something, you know, obviously you don't have to until the baby's born, but.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's actually funny. I always mess with her all the time because, you know, when we were dating, she was like, oh, when you propose, I'll move up to Green Bay. And then we get proposed, and she's like, no, I'm going to stay here and work. And then we get married. Oh, when we get married, I'll move to Green Bay. No, I'm going to stay here and work. So finally, when we had the baby, yeah, she took some time, and she finally moved to Green Bay. And I think it was kind of a like a shock for her. You know, I'm speaking for her, obviously, but going from D.C., where she's working, you know, 60-plus hour weeks, to literally – coming to Green Bay, you know, Green Bay is what, 100,000 people, leaving this metropolitan area, coming to Green Bay, being at home with a baby all day. Like, I think like it was definitely a shock for her, but it all worked out in the end. And, you know, she loves it. She loves the situation that we're in now. And, you know, she really has put her career kind of not on the back burner because she's still doing it a little bit, but she's kind of set it off to the side to be there for me, to help me follow my dreams and play as long as I want and until her time comes. And then I, like I said, I guess I'll be the stay-at-home dad, yeah, the kids off at school, going golfing to come back and pick them up.
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
Yeah. You're getting a taste of it right now, dropping the kids off.
Mm-hmm.
You playing any golf right now?
I played. We've had a few nice days down here in Nashville. I went out and played it's probably about a couple weeks ago, and it was a little rusty. Got a little work to do on my game, but I'm getting ready to join one of the clubs down here.
Nice!
Here soon, so
that's awesome.
I'll be able to get with one of the golf pros and really dial it in.
Yeah, put the time in. Pat and I always talk about golfing with the kids. Are you getting your kids out there yet?
So we got some clubs. So we take the clubs out in the backyard, and I got the boys. My oldest is left-handed, so he gets out there and he hits a few balls. I got some of the little wiffle balls for him. Yeah. So, you know, there's divots all in the backyard from him, him trying to golf. But it's really funny. I was trying to teach him, you know, like the scoring, right? Because he's so competitive. He wants to win. He doesn't care what it is. If we're walking up the stairs, who's the first one to get their seatbelt on the car, whatever it may be, he wants to win. And so I was explaining to him, like, you know, like you want to hit the person who hits the least amount of shots wins in golf. And like that concept to him was like
mind blown.
he was like, no, I hit more balls than you. I won. Like, no. So I had to like break it down to him, and he finally understood what I was saying. But that was pretty funny.
Just keep it that way, so he'll never beat you.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
until you get the high score. So I was gonna ask you if they're any involved in any sports or clubs yet. They're probably too young. I don't know at what age you actually like put them in, you know, like the soccer, and they just all run around the ball.
Yeah,
and there's no real concept.
Sitting on the ground.
So we started, let's see, he was 3 when we started soccer.
Okay.
They had a really cool it wasn't a league. It was kind of just like practicing. It was called Soccer Shots. And they kind of have it. It's kind of national, depending on what city you're in. But basically, Soccer Shots, they just teach you like the basic fundamentals of how to control the ball, like how to dribble, big kicks. It really wasn't a whole lot of like team, like a team sport, so to say. It was kind of just teaching them how to play. And then here, actually last week was his first T-ball practice. So he hit the ball like coach pitch, like the second pitch. I was really, really impressed. Like,
so he's got the hand-eye coordination.
It's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, he does. You can tell he's a little athlete. We'll see. I'm trying to hold him off from football as long as I can and, you know, wait till he gets a little bit older for that.
Yeah, what age do you think it's safe to do that? I always wonder, is it flag? You start him there and you don't
let him tackle? I think definitely a starting flag. I started playing tackle football when I was seven, which I think is really, really young.
Yeah.
You know, with our kids, I think that we will keep them in flag for probably up until middle school, maybe high school, if they decide that they want to play football. But I'm really trying to push golf and tennis right now. Yeah. So we'll see.
Something that you could play with them.
Exactly.
You know, you got to enjoy it with them.
Yeah.
So Ida, I'm taking the boys to the range. Yeah, like.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like that, though.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious. So obviously golf seems to be one of your hobbies. If you're getting a break from the kids, what other hobbies are you picking up?
Reading. That's probably my two hobbies really at this point.
Okay.
I love music, listen to music. I don't play any instruments. Really my life revolves around being with the kids and football. You know, my entire career, it's like when the season's over, I take 2 weeks off before I start training again. And then, you know, obviously now having kids, there's just so much time to be had with them. And I just really enjoy being with them, creating memories and, you know, love playing with them. That's literally all I do.
Do you get the question a lot? Like my father-in-law just asked me, what do you do with your time all day? And I'm like, Steven,
I have two kids,
like under two, man. Like,
yeah.
Busy, nonstop. Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh. But yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite part about having kids while you're playing football? I know there's a lot of cool memories. Like it was one of my goals was to have kids while I was still playing so I could be the guy on the field in training camp where they're coming up to you after practice and running up to you and have those pictures and memories and moments. I wanted to see what you, what was the best part about playing football with them?
That is it. You know, I think, them seeing what I've loved to do my entire life, them having the opportunity to actually see that and remember that. And I think this was the first year where they actually like will remember, right? Because the first time my son came to a game, like he was a newborn. He's not going to remember.
right?
So then whenever I was in Dallas, like we got some really cool pictures. Like during pregame, he was out on the field with me warming up. So we got some really cool pictures from that. But he doesn't even remember that. So this is the first time these past couple of years back in Green Bay during training camp, then being on the field, being able to run around after practice and come down to the field pregame this season. These are the first memories that they're going to have of me playing football. And now they associate everything 18 with me, right? So they associate the Packers logo with me. And it's like, that's really cool to just see how they've kind of come into understanding the game and wanting to play football. Like, that was all we did this past fall. Every time I come home, you know, it's like I'm right outside back on the field
tossing the ball
with them or playing tag. So I think that's the coolest thing is them getting to experience the life that I've lived.
What position would you feel comfortable with them playing? Do you want them to be a receiver, running back? Maybe
I'm
a quarterback.
I'm hoping they're a punter like you, man. What do you mean? Like, play until you're 45, 50 if you can. You know,
hey, don't bring them down to the floor. I'll teach them a thing or two when they're ready.
Yeah, Pat's ready.
You don't have to worry about too many concussions. Hopefully,
no. That'd be a bad day.
That'd be truck yes. really bad.
Truck by the returner. Blah.
Yeah. We don't want that.
Okay, so I'm going to flip it now and say the hardest part about having kids while playing football.
I would say the structure, right? Some people are fortunate enough, like myself. I was fortunate for 8 years straight, played in Green Bay, never thought about moving, never thought about, you know, any of this stuff. But these last 4 years, like, we've lived in 5 cities, like, yeah, you know, so there hasn't been that structure. And this was the first time that I was able to notice it, because normally, you know, with the other moves, it's always been Ida that's been bearing the brunt of the moves. But just seeing the anxiety that my kids got coming back to Nashville, even though this was somewhere that they've been before, it was just like, I saw that, I felt that, like, they really, really needed me. They really, really needed Ida in those moments. I mean, they've, like I said, we've lived in 5 cities in 4 years. So my oldest, he's literally lived in 4 different states in 5 cities, and he's been to 3 different schools. And he's 4, right?
Yeah, right.
So, like, that's a lot on a kid that's walking into a new environment, doesn't know anybody, doesn't know any kids, doesn't have many friends because we're moving so much. So I think that, like, seeing that and understanding what he's going through and being able to kind of help him through that, it was really difficult this off season. And that really is going to weigh into my decision, what I decide to do, yeah, you know, with my career moving forward.
I think a lot of people might overlook that too. They'll go, oh, they're an athlete, you know, they're fine, they're whatever. Yeah. They're just going to another team. But when you have a family behind you, now everything's different, because you're not just going to another team. Like you said, your son with the school, like, I moved around a lot when I was a kid, and I know it was kind of tough because you feel like, oh, now I got to make new friends, I got to do this.
Right.
It's hard, especially for a kid at, like, elementary school.
Right.
And I don't know. I think that gets overlooked a lot. You know, all these athletes move teams all the time, but we don't talk about that.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the reason is because they just see that, like, the money that we bring in, and mm-hmm. think, oh, like, these kids live a plush life. Everything's yeah. great. Like, yeah, and our kids, everything is great. They are very fortunate. They're going to be raised in a great, loving environment and a safe place. But they still have things that they go through, and just trying to help guide them through everything that we can as parents.
Do you notice that they're more comfortable in a certain city, or is it, like, less kids in a class? Is it, I'm trying to, cause Palmer's the same way. We went from Green Bay, and she was killing it in that Montessori school, like, loved it. And then mm-hmm. we got down here to Florida, and we started a couple of days a week, and she's probably too young to even know or, like, regurgitate, like, if she's happy or not. Like, she's, you know, 2-ish yeah. years old now. So I didn't know if the boys were, like, more comfortable in, like, the smaller environment, or if it's just the baked in friends with the locker room, and, you know, everyone has kids. Yeah. Like, that's what I loved about Green Bay. Like, it was so right. cool because how close, you know, the families were. And I didn't know sure. if it was a certain city or a certain, you know, environment that the kids were thriving in.
I think this is ever changing, because they get comfortable. They grow comfortable with wherever we are. It's just, it's the outside, right? Like I said, like, we're moving here, and they didn't have many friends here in Nashville when we came. So it's like you said, that how to meet kids and to how to conversate with kids. Like, they're really great with adults, but when it comes to, like, their peers,
yeah.
Kate Caspian, especially Kate, I'm not worried about him. Like, he's a social butterfly. Like, he'll talk to, he's never met a stranger. He'll talk to anyone. Like, really funny. And it's so interesting to see their personalities and the difference in both of them. But I think they're most comfortable now here because, like, this is where majority of the friends that they did have were. And now that we've gotten some structure with school, and, you know, they're going there so many times a week, and then now that we're getting into some sports and t-ball practice, and you see them starting to open up a little bit more yeah. to the other kids. So I think, like, as we continue to have this structure and be here, it's only going to get better.
So you think it's a structure? As long as the structure's in place, you can copy paste it, transplant them wherever.
Yeah, yeah. I think routine is big. I mean, yeah. I think a lot of what we do is, as parents, me and Ida, in our house is routine and trying to create that structure for them, because I know me, I'm a creature of habit. So I think it's important for them as well to give them some consistency, and they know what they're walking into, and trying to help them through that process.
Yeah. I think that's great advice for people that are listening,
yeah,
that are,
absolutely.
You know, stuck or that move around a lot. That's awesome. Appreciate yeah. that. But So me and Josh both have girl, boy, you know, different sexes. You have two boys. Yeah. And we wanted to talk about, is there a big difference between having two boys and then versus having a boy and a girl?
I feel like there is.
I think there is. The emotions, I don't know, kids.
Competition.
Yes.
Probably
yes.
More competitive with boys. Very, I know you don't have a girl to speak on that. But what's it like in the household with two boys?
Well, first I'm going to say, anytime I see a little girl, a little princess sitting somewhere, I'm like, man, like girls just sit there. They're so easy. It seems. I can't speak on it because I haven't been around many little girls. But yes, with our two boys, it's competitive for everything. And my youngest, all he wants to do is play with his older brother. An older brother doesn't always want to play with him, which leads to fights, which leads to arguments. So I feel like constantly all day, it's either like they're attached at the hip and they're playing together, or it's a getting ready to be a brawl and I got to break up a fight. So it's like one or the other. And everything is so competitive. Like, who's going to finish their food first? Who's going to get their clothes on first for the bath? Like, who's going to, like, everything is always competition with them, which it's okay, but at the same time, it's just like, it's such a headache sometimes, like,
yeah,
just to go through that.
I feel like I missed out on that. I mean, I have a sister and I love her, but I didn't have the brother. You know what I mean? So I didn't know what that was like, always fighting for something.
My brother and I mean, we're brothers, we're cool, but like, we grew so much closer after I went to college. When we were younger, oh man, it was like wreaking havoc.
I'm sure.
It was crazy.
I can see that. And we've talked about too, like, we want a girl. I don't know if I think we're kind of done. Honestly, we've kind of reached this point where Kate is three now, and this gap. We always said we wanted our kids to be able to be in high school together if they're going to be in high school. And I don't know. But we do want a girl. We always said we want the girl because we want our boys to understand like women and be able to talk to women. And I think like, you all having a boy and a girl, like, they're going to be into their emotions and it's not going to be this toxic masculinity, you know, which, you know, is important for me to show my boys an example, how I treat Ida and making sure that I'm being a model for them. So as they grow older, they understand how to talk to women.
Yeah, I think it's pretty evident when guys do have sisters. When you can peg it, like, dude, you definitely have a sister. Like, you meet some guys in the locker room, you're like, you are a savage. You must have grew up with brothers only.
You know who a good example of that is? Our friend Preston.
Yeah.
You can tell he has a sister.
Oh, yeah. Kind-hearted. Oh, yeah. Always wants to do right.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, next transition here, we like to talk about information that you have gathered as a father that you wish somebody told you before having children. Because, you know, everyone has an opinion. Everyone wants to tell you, like, oh, just wait. Oh, just wait. Oh, this is how you raise. Is there one thing that you wish somebody told you that you could tell your younger self?
No, because it really is the just wait, in my opinion. Because you have all these ideas, right? You're like, oh, when I'm a dad, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be like this. Nothing's going to change in my life. I'm going to keep the same schedule. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And no one's going to stop me. But if you really are trying to be a dad that's involved and try to be someone that is around and being a model for your kids, like, your world's going to be flipped upside down the moment you go through that birth. And, you know, I tell all my friends that are having their first child at the hospital, like, just get ready. Like, it sounds good. All your ideas and what you think you know and what you think you're going to do. And it doesn't matter how many books you read or what you think you know about kids, your world's going to be flipped upside down that moment that birth happens. And you see the birthing process and the respect that I have for Ida after watching what she went through in labor. You know, it was one thing with pregnancy. I was like, oh, you're fine. Like,
right. Yeah.
But then you watch it and you're like, oh, okay.
Did you stay above the sheet or were you like in the thick of it there? Were you?
Well, I was in the thick of it. Like, I was down there, and I actually, both of my boys, I caught whenever they came out, The greatest two catches I ever made. I wasn't down there for the aftermath, but like I was down there like till the baby came out.
Oh, dude, that is awesome. I wish I did that. I wish I caught my kids.
Helped pull it up. They let my wife catch both of our kids. Like she actually did. It was kind of cool.
Oh wow.
That's sick.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
She's talented.
She's pretty talented. Pushing and catching at the same time.
Both the photos from both the births are pretty epic. Aaliyah is like first one with the baby. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We should have Evan in there doing action shots.
Well, it was funny. We actually had her mom in there, and her mom, like, she was taking pictures of the walls and, like, the floor. Like,
what?
Because she was trying to, like, look with her eyes, and the phone was over here. So
aimlessly, like,
Aaliyah's mom on her last birth, because she wasn't there for the first one with COVID, and she was there for the last one, and some of the photos she took, Aaliyah actually went and deleted, because they were a little, like,
graphic
too much. Mom,
National Geographic.
She was in there.
She's like, come on,
she's in there.
This is too much.
That's amazing.
We deleted a few photos.
Did you have both kids in Green Bay?
One in Green Bay and one in Dallas.
Okay, so two different doctors.
Yes, two different doctors.
Did you have Winburn?
Winburn's amazing.
Okay, yeah, she's so like a funny Green Bay legend. I think she's delivered every kid.
She probably delivered probably every Packers baby. In the past decade,
everyone hyped this OB up so hard. Like, I'm like, she's funny. Like, everyone's like, oh no, just wait. Like, you know that, just wait. Like, we talked about the day like Shelby was in labor, she was a different animal. Like, as soon as the lights came on, like, she had a comic skit like lined up. She makes the women feel so
that's
comfortable.
Yeah,
I think that's so important, have that bedside manner, you know. Okay.
It was hilarious. She would like tell Ida, she'd be like, okay, push. And then like Ida would push. You know how you take the break in between contractions? She'd just be like, just BSing, just talking. Yeah. It was like, oh, this is like not like the movies.
No, that's what I always thought. I thought it was like you're in a gurney, they bust through the doors, like you're having a baby, everyone's screaming. And she's like telling jokes. And I'm like, is this really happening right now?
Yeah, this is not what I was expecting.
Oh, the movies just, they always mess up.
Yeah, they like do. They scare the dads about and the moms about childbirth.
For sure.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I am an absolute sucker for Billy if she wants a toy. Like, big time. I'll always buy one. And I can't stop myself from doing it. Is there something that you just, like, can't stop yourself with when it comes to the boys?
Wait till Randall has the girl and then ask this question.
Yeah.
The boys, I feel like you can
you
don't need that.
Tough love. Like I have the hard line with some things. But I know that if I have a girl, like I'm going to be a softy. I'm going to be a big softy. I've already got, you know,
that's
a couple
me, man.
Pieces.
I'm a softy.
I'm just like, we just bought a toy. Buy another one.
I
think Shelby's a softy too. I just walked him in before I did the podcast with you, and she had like this princess cup. They just went to Publix, so you get some like groceries. Did she need that? She looked at me and she's like, you understand, like when you have to like preoccupy them in a store, like that's what she wanted, and that's what. And the product placement is unbelievable in stores,
always.
Like
for
checking
sure.
out. They know exactly who their audience is. The candy bars, like all this stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's unbelievable.
Gotta have it too. Gotta have it.
All right, speaking of gotta have it, we like to ask for new dads out there that need to survive a day. Is there like a gadget? Is there a stroller? Is there something that you would recommend to a first-time parent or first-time father? You're one-on-one with the kids. What do you need to survive?
What do you need to survive? I would say we used to have a Kaluga stroller, which was like, you could hold the kid and open it with one arm, and it was so easy. It just like, it was really like, it was very compact. It was like a travel stroller, but you just like pull one time, boom, it pops open, like throw the kid in there, get him buckled in.
Don't sleep on the importance of a stroller.
Yes.
Yeah. That was probably one of the best purchases that we made. I was trying to think of another. I mean, we didn't, the first 2 years, our boys didn't watch TV. They didn't see screens. So we were like very, very serious about that. I would say the...
Unless they're on a flight. That's like the common the theme we hear, yeah, like with the athletes and their kids.
Yeah, whatever you got to do on the flight.
Yeah, it doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah, whatever you got to do on the flight. So.
Giving them candy, giving them screen time.
Take it all.
What do you need, guys?
Yeah, take it all.
All right, so no screen time, but Josh is a huge Disney guy.
Yes.
His daughter wears out Encanto. I didn't know if there
can
was
can we talk about Bruno? Like, I really want to talk about Bruno. Like, like, can we really break down Bruno? Like,
we do need to.
Josh, you can handle this one. That anyone's broke down Bruno on a podcast.
Encanto spoke to me. I really was like, really, another Disney movie we got to watch? And Encanto's amazing. I resonate with Luisa in that movie. Bearing all the weight and feeling like it's just like always on your shoulders. So I always mention Luisa, but Bruno was like shunned for no reason. And they're like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
And they're like, he ruined our wedding and he's just trying to tell them about it.
Yeah, he's trying to help you.
He got the short end of the stick.
What I noticed for the longest is we would start Disney movies, like when we did start watching TV, and like the kids would just run off and I wouldn't even realize that I would be so into the movie. Like,
I do that too, and Shelby yells at me. She's like, why are you still watching? I'm like, this is an amazing movie.
This is a great movie.
Yeah. Disney. Yeah, like Baby Einstein we had on last night for the girls, and I was like,
oh, that's a Shelby thing.
Yeah, I'm just like,
Shelby's like, if they're gonna watch TV, it's gonna be something educational. That's not.
It's just like random clips of stuff. I'm like, I can't watch this.
Oh, it's not for you. All right, go ahead.
What about Trolls? Did you like Trolls? Oh, I mean, it's not Disney.
Trolls. We have watched Trolls a lot.
Yeah,
it's the music, man. There's so much music. The kids love it.
So much music. Trolls World Tour. That was the second one. We watched that a lot. We actually, every time we got in the car, we listened to Trolls World Tour. So I got to the point where I was like, actually, like, Trolls are actually on tour right now, so we can't listen to Trolls World Tour.
Trolls was fun. And then, what was the other one? The Minions stuff.
Yes.
Billy loves the Minions. She thinks they're hilarious. So we have to watch that.
Yeah, Minions are good.
Oof. Yeah. Okay, have you been to Disney with the kids?
Last year.
I want to go. Josh has been. And I'm like, they're not going to remember it. It's too much. It's too much on the parents. It really is. Unless you go to Epcot and drink around the world.
Yeah. I think that's definitely worth it. We went. We were there for 4 days. We went to the park 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
They had a blast. I mean, the youngest we like would only do like we had our nanny with us, so like she would take. Our youngest, he would reach a point to where like it was nap time and he was just like a mess. So she would take him.
No return.
But Cass loved it. Like Cade actually cried on Dumbo, which is like not even a ride.
Yeah, it's like it a just, like, ride. Yeah,
he just started crying on that. So I was like, okay, like it's time for him to go. But Cass, he loved it. He rode most of the roller coasters. Slinky Dog was his favorite.
All right.
Yeah, he was a big Slinky Dog fan. And it was so funny because when we rode it the first time, like, he was so, like...
What, mesmerized or what?
Yeah. And then we got to the end. I thought, like, he hated it. I thought he, like, was, like, having the worst time ever. And, like, it stopped and he was like, can we go again? Oh, he loves it. Yes.
I can't wait for Billy to ride that. She hasn't been on a roller coaster yet, and I'm so excited to get her on. We've taken our daughter. We're annual pass holders. We've probably been, like... I don't know, 12 or 14 times already, and she's just over 2.
Yeah.
Bennett's been 3 times, and he's...
That's nice.
Do you get, like, points, like frequent flyers
for Disney? Yeah. No, they don't do that.
It's got to be something, no?
I'm like, man, 14 times.
So I have 2 favorite memories of taking Billy to Disney, and one was we met Daisy, and she went berserk. Like, just absolutely insane to meet Daisy. And the other one was we were in the Star Wars land, and she was waving at the stormtrooper, and she was so excited. And then he looks at her and goes, I'm watching you. And she went nuts, trembling, so scared, didn't want to see him again.
Oh, wow.
What was wrong with that guy in that costume?
It was amazing. Like, it was the funniest thing. It was just us, and she just
That's amazing.
It.
Oh. That's amazing. Yeah, we love Disney. We want to get back down there soon. We're trying to figure out something in our schedule to get back down there because the boys had a blast. I had a blast. I actually met Michael Jordan when we were
there.
Oh, nice. Really? Yeah, so I was like Disney World, where dreams come true for everyone.
Yeah, seriously, yeah, that's a pretty good
one. They got to meet Mickey, I got to meet Jordan.
Oh, I just recommend do not go in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. Or spring break, or winter break, or...
Yeah, go ahead, list them all.
Going off, off times.
It's pretty crowded.
Well, you got any more questions for our guy, Randall? His time's really important right now.
Oh, man.
He's got to get to the golf course.
Listen, I do have one question. I'll wrap it up on this.
Okay.
Bedtime. Do you have a hard set time for bedtime?
Yes. And it's never the actual time that we set. But again, we're very hard on routine. So we try to stick to that as best we can. 5:30 is dinner. Like, we didn't like sit down for dinner at 5:30. At 6 or close-ish to 6, we start moving upstairs for bath time. And then, 7 is lights out. And we try our best. Like, obviously, it can go to, 7:20 sometimes. Or, it's not – it's kind of fluid, but there's still a routine. And, I've gotten to the point now where I figured out, ways that I can get them upstairs. Because before, I'd be like, they know that dinner time's over and they're trying to,
Oh, he's dropping nuggets of gold at the end of the podcast.
Yeah,
let's hear it.
They're trying to find ways to, make it longer. And recently I started I would put on this, Come and Ride That Train. And we would make a train and there'd be a train all the way upstairs.
Yes.
Train all the way upstairs.
And what a way to cheat them up.
They started realizing
there.
What I was doing. So then I had to switch it over. And now I do soldiers, right? So I'm like, soldier, and I go, teacher. And then we get in line and we march.
This is great.
Live, right, all the way upstairs to the bathroom.
So do you alternate every other night? Is it train one night, soldiers
night? So now it's it's all soldiers. It's all soldiers. I got probably 5 months worth of the train.
The train.
Yeah, so then it's just it's so hard. It's trying to find ways to redirect their mind, right?
Yeah.
At bedtime, they know bedtime is coming, so they go crazy. So I started doing dance party. So now it's we have after you get out of the bath and get your pajamas on, we get dance party. If you're taking too long in the bath or if you're taking too long to get your pajamas on, then we lose dance party. And then they're it's we get dance party and a few books and then it's bedtime.
I feel like you're the DJ. They're instead of playing Closing Time though, you're going into Soldiers. one, let's go.
Yeah. So just try to make it fun, try to make make memories at the same time of, getting them where we need to get them.
So you're having a minor in psychology.
It is.
It is. It really is. It's redirect their mind. How can I redirect their mind to something else?
It's a good.
It's a game for us. We love it too. We're all right, what are we gonna do next?
Dude, this has been awesome, Randall. We really do appreciate your time. I know you are a busy man. Probably got to pick up the kids, go to the golf course, one of those things. Maybe Ida has some list for you to do. But I will see you, my man, in April. Fingers crossed here.
Maybe we'll see how it plays out.
Free agency is crazy. I know it is, but me and Josh appreciate it. And I'll close this out here. Everybody, thanks for listening to Locker Room Dads here. We keep things interesting on this podcast. You never know who's going to be on next, what nuggets of gold will drop, but we will talk to you next time, guys. Later.